Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast, where we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday morning sermon at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll address other topics. We hope these podcasts help you press the Word of God into your everyday life.
Well, good afternoon. Today is June the 21st, and I'm with Scott Patty for a Words of Grace podcast.
Words of who?
Words of who? Words of what? Words of Grace podcast. All right. People probably thought we were never coming back.
I know. We've been off a couple weeks.
Yeah, it's summer.
Really? Have we been off 2 weeks?
I think at least two, maybe three.
Okay.
But it's summer.
We're back.
You're on vacation. We're kind of taking a vacation from, I guess, the podcast, apparently.
Did I take a vacation?
No.
I don't know what I don't know why I was gone.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, we've been in and out.
We've been out.
Yeah.
We're back though.
We are. We're back. And back not only in the podcast, but you're kind of in a new sermon series.
Yeah.
So you've kind of took this week and next week mm-hmm. to focus on our mission statement at Grace Community Church. I can't talk today. Grace Community Church, and it's to build spiritually healthy people for ministry in the world. And you're going to be in the Psalms, I think, the whole time, but right. You started with Psalm 1 this week. Right. So give us a little bit of an overview.
Yeah, Psalm 1, beautiful passage, the blessed person. It's says how blessed is the man, and that's the representative man, the man who represents all the people of faith, all the people who are walking with God, blessed, and then goes through this contrast between the blessed man and the wicked man.
Right.
But then right there in verse 3, it gives us this beautiful image mm-hmm. of a tree that the man or the woman who is walking with God by faith mm-hmm. is the person who bears fruit, who's a tree planted by streams of water yeah. and then bearing much fruit. So what we were trying to do this week is bring out this imagery of this tree in Psalm chapter 1, verse 3, to show us what our lives can be like as we're walking in Christ and what it means to be spiritually healthy,
right?
What it means to be growing, not perfect, mm-hmm. And not even blessed doesn't even mean always happy on the emotional level.
Yeah, that's good.
So we got to be very careful about that. There's this triumphalistic attitude that comes across sometimes from preaching, and people think, "Oh, I'm supposed to be on top of the world all the time." Mm-hmm. No, you can be sinking your roots deep in the soil of God's grace through all kinds of trial and tribulation and hardship.
Good.
So we're not talking about that kind of thing. We're talking about the life that is connected to God mm-hmm. and drawing from God and then bearing fruit. So the idea of the tree planted in the soil and then drawing from the streams of water mm-hmm. and then bearing fruit. That's what we're to be like. That's what God is making us.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it was good. I think it was towards the end of the sermon you said, man, wouldn't it be just catch a vision of all of these trees lined mm-hmm. and planted and bearing fruit, and mm-hmm. man, what kind of congregation that would create. And that was just great.
Like an orchard, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so all the way that ties into the mission statement that we were unpacking on Sunday is we are a congregation that is seeking to do that. We want to bring glory to God, our chief aim. Mm-hmm. And then the way we do that is by being a healthy congregation.
Right.
And what healthy congregations do is they make disciples, or they help people be walking with Christ, healthy believers.
Yeah.
So that was Psalm 1.
Yeah, it was great.
Now, all right, I want to turn this, though, before we get into, we're going to come back to that in a moment, but it relates. Mm. Because this weekend, led a training here at Grace on facilitating small group discipleship.
Yeah.
So that does relate here, and so I want you to talk about it. What did you do this weekend?
Yeah, so I gathered, we had about 20 people, and we'll gather more in July. And so if you're listening to this and like this, you know, something like, man, that's something I would love to do, give me a call. But, you know, one of the things, Scott, that I really began to study a lot is during the pandemic is mm-hmm. it's kind of looking at how Christ discipled people, mm-hmm. you know, how he modeled that. And one of the things that I saw, Scott, was that he definitely had the multitudes around him. He was teaching. He had his 12 disciples, but he had a core below that 12, the three, Peter, James, and John, that he mm-hmm. really poured into. And then you look at Paul, to Timothy, and you mm-hmm. can all of it see mm-hmm. that is, how could we do that at Grace? Not just do that, but how could we disciple each other in such a way that others could take that and disciple others.
Okay.
And so we just laid that model out. We talked about what that looked like, and it was just really, and is so great, you talking about Psalm 1, about having these trees planted, bearing fruit, and what that could look like. And And it's funny because the model that we're talking about is not complicated. It's just in the Word. And what does that look like to get in a group of people where you're diving into God's Word, challenging each other to live this way in the world? And I think it's something that for me, since I was 13 years old, Scott, has been done to me. And
okay.
So
all right. So you've got 20 people in a room this weekend, and your vision for them was that they what?
They would go find some people to start doing this with.
Okay.
So it could be people that they know at Grace, and we even talked about what if there's someone out in the community that doesn't have a church. You know, you could bring them in if they're a Christian. What does that look like? And so there's a lot of things we talked about, but the idea is that these people would go and begin groups and start it.
And when they begin a group, let's say you're encouraging them, you're giving them a vision for, okay, I can gather three other people at my house or somewhere, and then what? Like, what do you envision them doing once they get in the same room?
So, you know, one of the things that we talked about is the difference between gaining knowledge and just meeting with the Lord.
Okay.
And so what these groups, I mean, the meat of what they're going to be talking about is as they go out during the week and they're having their normal devotional quiet time in the morning, they're learning about what it looks like to write those thoughts down as they're meeting with the Lord, and they're coming back because everyone hopefully will be reading the same Bible reading plan or what that may look like, and they're just going to sit around talking about what the Lord's challenging them on as they're in the Word.
All right, so it's people. You got a facilitator. That's who you were with this weekend, and then they gather a few folks around them.
Yep.
But they're not really the master teacher so much as they're just the facilitator. They're just getting people in the room together. Right. Everybody's reading the Bible, and then everybody's bringing a Bible.
Yeah.
Getting together, and they're talking about what this means, what it means to know God and to walk with God and to follow Jesus.
Yeah. And there's, you know, there's some other elements to it about, you know, keeping their eyes focused outward, because the goal is be praying about how you could do this in a year with someone else. And so there's going to be this thought, if you're in a group of, hey, be praying about people you could start a group with in a year.
All right. So there's kind of a, what we would say, maybe a multiplication or an expansion element to it. So I'm in a group. Somebody facilitated it. They got us together. They took the lead on that. Then we're sitting around for a year. We're praying with each other. We're reading the Bible. We're encouraging each other. We're seeing how it works in our lives. And then maybe after a little while, a year, year and a half, whatever, I think I can do this to somebody with somebody else. And so I become a facilitator. I reach out to two or three or four friends at Grace or in the community or, you know, a new Christian. And I do the same thing with them.
Absolutely.
Okay. And so you're saying it's that simple.
It's that simple. And I think it's because I've heard a lot of, I've always asked people to serve at Grace in certain avenues, and I'll hear the phrase, oh, well, I can't do that. Or I'm not like that person. And you're like, okay, why are they saying that? Part of it, I think there's a lot of reasons. You know, maybe it's because they see someone teaching, like, well, I can't teach like that. Well, maybe that's not what you need to do. Or it's, I can't facilitate that curriculum. That seems challenging to me. And, and I get all of those reasons. And we'll still have those other things that are important, but I think this model helps say, we're not asking you to do anything that you wouldn't do in your normal Christian life, which is just meet with the Lord and get together and encourage one another.
And bring that to a group.
Yeah, which we talked a lot about journaling. I know that's kind of a weird word, but a lot of times we forget, if we don't write things down, you just forget it. So we talk about that. So there's a lot of, but there's training involved for all of this, and again, it's just, it was a beautiful process for me to sit back and think about how this was done to me. Since I was 13. Scott's 13 years old. This has literally been done to me since I was 13 years old.
And you've been a part, so you've been a part of some kind of a group of people discussing prayerfully, encouragingly, thoughtfully, practically the Bible and how it shapes your life.
Yeah, so this model is things that was done to me, that was done to me when I was young, and then also conferences I've been to, just kind of put it all together and go, okay, what could this look like at Grace? And that's what we're talking about.
Which is interesting, because the more you've experienced it and the more books you've read and the more conferences you've gone to, probably it sounds to me like you're saying the simpler and more refined this has become, to where it's very relational around the Word, in prayer, encouraging each other to go live.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, it was encouraging to, to see this.
So that's kind of the mission of Grace,
right?
To build spiritually healthy people for ministry in the world. That really fits fits great.
Yeah. So, now coming back to you. Yeah. So as I looked at this, and I was thinking about what I did, you know, this past weekend, but then looking at this healthy tree that's planted, the thought came to my mind, and we talked about it before. This is, what are some habits that you would say would be a part of the life of a follower of Jesus, a Christian, that would help them become this healthy tree that's planted firm.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Because one of the things real quick I would say is I was thinking about this is that, you know, when the winds come on a tree, and I've lived in the last year and a half singing, what would create us such a healthy way that when wind does come, we're healthy, we're planted, and we're responding in ways that are glorifying to God, all of that. So I know there's practices that will help create in our life to be that kind of tree.
Yeah. Okay, good. Well, I like the word habit, but I'm going to back up prior and say just a little word maybe to qualify that word, the habits of a healthy Christian. So the Christian life is not habits. The Christian life, being a Christian, is being rightly related to God through faith in Jesus Christ.
Okay.
So Jesus has done something that is objective, meaning he accomplished a work that is done, completed, and that is he died for our sins. He atoned for our sins, covered them, and through faith in him, they are removed. And as those sins are removed now, Jesus is the person in between, the man in between God and humans who have repented and have faith. He reconciles them to God. That reconciliation speaks of the removal of enmity, and it also speaks of the establishment of covenant relationship with God. So we want to start right there and say that to be a Christian is to be rightly related in a right relationship with God. Also, to be a Christian is to be spiritually alive. Born again, Jesus said. You must be born again. And so he's talking about the life of Christ, the life of the Spirit of Christ living in us, making us alive and responsive to God. So before we could get to habits of a healthy Christian, we just need to establish the fact that a healthy Christian is a Christian, or a Christian is a person who is alive to God, responsive to God. And that's what we want to be. If we're going to be mature in our faith, growing in our faith, we could also say fruit bearing, meaning our faith is actually producing something good out of us to others and to the glory of God. We have to be alive spiritually, which we are by faith in Jesus, and we have to be responsive. So that's I want to just establish that.
That's good.
So that people don't think that you can just bypass the heart of the gospel, which is being justified before God, alive to God, and just start doing stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. But we will say that knowing that by faith in Jesus we're justified before God, made right with God, set right with God, in a right relationship with God, alive to God, responsive. What can we now do
that's good
that will help promote spiritual health?
Good. So it starts at this foundation level of how can we even be near to God, understanding that reality.
That's right. And that is by grace.
Then there are these practices that connect to the reality that we now we are near to God.
That's right.
That's good.
So now, having said all that, I can answer your question. Maybe some habits of a healthy believer, healthy follower of Jesus. One thing I would say is that that Christian, it's very helpful for Christians to recognize the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the authoritative voice of God in the Word, the Bible, that is inspired by the Spirit. It's very, very important.
Yeah.
This is part of the responsiveness that we're talking about here. So I think it's a healthy habit every day to say to ourselves and in prayer to God, I am grateful that you live in me by the power of the Holy Spirit and that you have given me the Word of God to guide my life. Without those, we would not be spiritually alive and we would not be guided by God. So that recognize. The second thing, another habit is, Christians need to spend regular time praying and prayerfully reading the Bible. It's very simple. But if you approach it from the relational point of view, from the responsive to God point of view, it may be simple, but it's rich.
Yeah, that's what I think. You mentioned now twice in 1 and 2, the Word of God. And the one thing I love about grace when I first came here, which was so helpful for me, because, you know, I came from different churches and this had a different culture to it. Not that they didn't believe the word at other churches, but you would always talk about do you want to hear the Lord speak? Mm-hmm. Then open your Bible. Yeah. Like he speaks through what he has spoken. So that's mm-hmm. powerful.
Yeah.
When you and the responsive nature to that, I think brings.
Yeah. So we're listening.
Yeah, that's good.
So that's a second discipline is that when I say prayerfully read, I mean listening kind of reading.
Yeah.
I mean looking, mm-hmm. hearing God's voice, seeing how this relates to my life, interacting with God. You mentioned journaling a moment mm-hmm. ago. You're writing out prayers based on what you're reading mm-hmm. as it relates to you personally, real yeah. situations, real relationships, real conversations, real decisions. So it's a prayerful reading of God's Word. Now, of course, it's important to study to make sure you understand what mm-hmm. the Word is, what the Bible is saying. But you don't stop there. You want to go from the studying to understand it to praying it so you can become like it.
Right.
So I would encourage people, another habit is to get a decent study Bible.
Yeah.
You know, the ESV, English Standard Version study Bible, is one that mm-hmm. is on my desk. It's on my desk every morning in my quiet mm-hmm. time. It's right there. Mm-hmm. There's another one that has come out recently. There's another, there's a newer New International Version study Bible that's put out. So, you know, one of those two would be right. super helpful. Mm-hmm. You're going along and there's something you don't quite understand. You just flip open. There's some study notes in there and you can yeah. read it and maybe gain some clarity of understanding.
Yeah.
But the point being, the clarity of understanding is so that you can then understand how this relates to you, how you can live it and be conformed. So that'd be yeah. the second thing is prayerfully reading the Bible. A third habit would be the habit of being around other Christians. And there are numerous ways you can do this. Of course, we would say congregational corporate worship on the Lord's Day.
Yeah.
So important. Mm-hmm. So important to be around other Christians mm-hmm. In a worshiping, preaching, praying, mm-hmm. singing context.
Absolutely.
But there are other ways to do that. You mentioned, as we started this, small groups. So that, you know, being a part of a smaller group of people where you can talk about your life, what's going on, how you can pray, how they can encourage you to walk with Christ and be holy, yeah. and then friendship. So that'd be the third discipline is making sure that you've got the regular contact with other Christian people.
Good.
A fourth one, and I'll end up on this one, is the habit of exercising our faith through service and ministry.
Yeah.
So that could be, you know, where do you work? You wake up in the morning and you say, God, help me to render the best service I can to the people that I'm going to encounter today unto your glory. Is there a place to serve at church? Lord, help me on this Lord's Day or this Wednesday night or whenever it is to go and render the best service that I can for your glory in this congregation. Is it a friendship that you have or a family member who you're trying to share the gospel with? Lord, help me to exercise the service ministry today of speaking the gospel truth and the gospel call to these people in my life. So there's some kind of out, you know, giving out. And there's mm-hmm. numerous ways that we can do
yeah.
that. Just need to be creative and think about them. So recognizing the ministry of the Spirit and the authoritative word of God, or voice of God in the Word is one, and then actually doing it, praying and prayerfully reading the Word is two. Knowing how to be around other Christians mm-hmm. in a helpful way is the third one. And then the fourth one is doing ministry, serving.
Yeah.
These are habits of healthy believers.
Yeah. Well, great. Well, it was a great first place to stop in Psalm chapter 1.
Yeah.
And we'll be moving on this week as well.
This week, we're going to talk a little bit more about what it means to be a congregation that does this, that builds yeah. spiritually healthy
Good.
People. We'll talk about making sure that we are passing the gospel and the history of grace, not Grace Community Church, but the history of God's grace to each other and on to the next generation as we're building people.
Great. We'll look forward to it.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Scott.